Welcome to Water Insider, a podcast brought to you by DHI. Whether you work with urban or inland water systems, marine or offshore, we get experts to discuss everything water, so you can be the first to learn the latest in water tech and trends.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Water Insider podcast. My name is Maziar Golestani, and I've been working as a metocean specialist for 12 years. Today, we're going to talk about scour and scour protection for offshore wind farms. Specifically, we will detail scour insights and challenges related to the offshore wind industry in emerging markets, such as in Asia and the US. First, let's welcome my guest, Tor Petersen. Tor has been working with the offshore wind farm structures for more than 10 years and a specialist in loads and scour protection. Welcome to you, Tor.
Thank you very much, Maziar. I look very much forward to diving into these topics with you.
All right, Tor. Can you tell us about the loads and the scour protection in new territories, such as Asia or US-based, based on your experience?
Thanks for asking that, Maziar. For offshore wind farms, the load evaluation performed during the design process will consider, of course, the metocean and also the seabed conditions to select an effective foundation principle. Overall, there exist bottom fixed and also floating foundations, where the former is applied in shallow waters and the latter for deeper waters. Currently, the vast majority of the offshore wind turbines are founded on bottom fixed structures, but in the future, we will see more and more floating foundations. Most of the foundation principles applied in Northern Europe, such as monopiles, jackets, gravity-based structures, may also be applied in US or in Asia for that matter. That being said, the seabed conditions in many of the prospective sites are varying a lot from sandy soils, which have been the case and what we are used to in the projects here in Northern Europe. In Taiwan, for example, some of the sites will have clay or mud, or at least very soft seabed materials for the first several top meters of the seabed soil. So how to handle inter-array cables, how to handle scour protections when the seabed doesn't provide immediate lateral or vertical support for the structures, which are laid on the seabed or buried in the seabed.
Yeah, that sounds quite challenging, Tor. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you do scour assessment and scour protection in offshore wind projects?
Of course, Maziar. In general, there exist two approaches to handle the aspect of what we term seabed foundation interactions. Either you allow the scour and sediment transport around the foundation to appear freely over the lifetime of the wind farm, or you mitigate the scour by applying a scour protection system that will limit the removal of the seabed sediments around the foundation. Example, I mean, for a monopile, you would like to secure a certain fixation level of the pile in the seabed.
Then, and why would a project team member or a specialist decide on one option or the other?
Good question. Most often the choice is to have the foundations protected against scour. And in the case where it's left unprotected, it can be, let's say, caused by several aspects. But most often it is because of large variations in the general seabed level, where the seabed at the site of the offshore wind farm may or will experience several meters of vertical change due to deposition and erosion of the seabed over time. This could be when the offshore wind farm is located close to a river mouth, where seasonal or yearly discharges of sediments in the water column varies a lot. Alternatively, seabed variations may also be caused by larger and mobile bed forms that could be sand dunes or sand waves. It is worth noticing that seabed level variations can be handled effectively in the design approach, but the larger the vertical variations get, the larger the plan view extent of the scour protection needs to be.
All right, I understand that the seabed level variance is quite an important aspect when choosing to mitigate the scour or not. What is a typical approach when you see the need for scour protections?
There exist several ways to design scour protection systems, but the most
commonly used approach is to apply rock dump around the base of the foundation, a procedure which has been used for many, many years for marine and offshore structures in general. The reason why it's specifically important for offshore wind farms is that here we build for each project typically 50, 100, 150 foundations, which has the same type of scour protection system applied at the base. And intuitively, it's therefore quite a prominent exercise to optimize the design to achieve both an effective engineering layout, but also, of course, at the same time, a cost-effective design. Yeah. If the procedure to apply rock dump as scour protection is selected, it may also have many secondary favorable implications, such as fixating the anti-ray cables where they reach the seabed after exiting the foundation. But that is altogether another story.
It does make sense to me to optimize scour protection applications to save money while we're maintaining the structural integrity and performance. But I have a question to you, Tor. What are the focal points of scour protection for offshore wind, in your opinion?
The focal point to achieve optimized and cost-effective scour protections in offshore wind farms typically lies in reduction of rock sizes or volume of rock material needed, or we can work on reducing the number of installation steps. Yeah. In relation to optimizing rock sizes, the designer needs to consider all the mid-ocean conditions, such as hydrodynamic loading from extreme waves, from tidal currents, from tsunami, from water depth, seabed condition, migrating bed forms, and so on and so forth, to figure out an optimal rock size for the filter and the armor. A conservative approach would be to design a rock size such that the stone wouldn't even move in the largest storms. That could be a 50-year storm event or a 100-year return event. This is definitely a viable option, but considering the knowledge built around the concept of sediment transport applied here to gravel and rocks, one could also partially allow erosion of rocks during storms, which may only be experienced once or two times during the lifetime of the offshore wind farms. I mean, come back to the discussion on typhoons and hurricanes, and in general, just extreme sea state conditions. What we do is to set up a design basis, which is a mere representation of nature, where extreme value analysis and statistical treatment and data provides return events used for design. Yeah. These events, in my mind, are very likely to happen, but they're also finite in duration. So even if the rocks in the scour protection systems are mobile during these extreme events, they may not be eroded severely if the sea state is not long. Let's say it's maintained within 3 to 6 hours. So in my work, I work on reducing the stone size to an extent where they are mobile during storm conditions, but they are still not left with much erosion over the stormy winds. I think that is the way to go.
Yeah, well, right, Tor, I understand that. You also mentioned about the volume. Why is that more important than before?
Good question, Mishar. In recent years, the installation of offshore wind farms are going into deeper waters and are installed with larger turbines and towers on top. This demands an increase in foundation sizes and ultimately a lot more rock to protect the immediate seabed around the foundations. Consider that now monopiles are reaching up to 8 or 9 meters in diameter, and when placed in the offshore, they change and increase the flow patterns locally around the structures, which in turn starts eroding the seabed material. Yeah. Commonly, as an engineer, you design the rock dump to cover an equal part of the seabed relative to the size of the foundation. So larger structures requires more work and, of course, more volume.
Yeah, yeah. You also mentioned something about the installation procedure. Can you please elaborate a little bit?
Yes, indeed. And thanks for making a call back. There exist several installation procedures for scour protections, which typically involves 3 or more installation steps for applying a rock dump around the base. If we focus on monopiles, and this is just to give the listener of this podcast an example, a scour protection installation procedure may involve, firstly, installation of filter, which consists of fine rock that could be gravel size material, and that provides the stability of the seabed beneath. Then you go and install the armor rock on top, and that's a larger rock which remains stable during storm conditions. And ultimately, you drive the monopile foundation through these two stone layers. Typically, you drive it 20 to 30 meters into the seabed. Okay. What we can do in modern times is to reduce the installation procedure to two steps. Here, we can design a scour protection system that handles both the filter and the armor rock performance in one material, which we normally term single grade scour protections. Instead of first having a filter installation, then armor, then monopile, you switch to applying just one material, so the procedure becomes installation of rock and then installation of monopile.
Very interesting. So that to me sounds like saving a lot of costs. Just going a little bit back to my question before, we discussed soft soils and challenges in Asia. What about the US? Are there any interesting aspects worth mentioning here to our listeners?
Yes, we have been involved in several projects on the US East Coast. And in opposition to what we just discussed in relation to Taiwan, some of the aspects we've dealt with relates to the possibility of having a lot less scour around the foundations than what we would predict by industry standards. Here, it's either the mid-ocean or the seabed soil conditions, which may render an almost non-erosive seabed. And here, the industry are simply missing information on what happens over longer time spans.
Okay, yeah. I guess that means that in the design aspects, the consideration to leave the foundation unprotected or with the minimal scour protection can be a way forward. Is that true?
Yes, that is indeed the question.
There's definitely a lot here to learn when it comes to scour protection for offshore wind in countries like Asia and US. All right, everyone, we are reaching the end of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. There are many other interesting and challenging aspects we have not yet covered regarding offshore wind. If you have any topics you would like us to discuss in future episodes, please feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. And thank you so much again, Tor, for sharing your very valuable insights with everyone here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michel. I enjoyed this discussion and hopefully also looking very much forward to the next talk we have.
Thanks for listening to Water Insider. You can find more episodes on our website, dhigroup.com, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us.